Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got.
Hey, Mr. Peterson, what's the story?
Boy meets beer, boy drinks beer, boy gets another beer. Would you like to get
away? How are you today, Mr. Peterson?
Never been better, Woody. Yeah, just once, I'd like to be better. I got good news, everybody. I'm no longer looking for a job. Now begging for one.
Hey, everybody!
No!
How you doing, Norm? What do you know?
Not enough. Afternoon, everybody.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
This episode of The Commercial Break.
Some of them are Palladians. Some of them are more generic alien light language girls. Yes. Okay. The Palladians.
But the Palladians is a species of aliens?
It's a species of aliens, and they believe that they've been dropped down here on Earth, and they've co-mingled, co-mated with humans.
Okay, that's how the hybrids
happen. That's the hybrids happening, and that if you're a Palladian, then you will activate when you hear certain languages.
And you will activate...
Your Palladian penis. Your Palladian penis. Your Palladian penis will come alive.
And then all of a sudden you're going to have wealth and abundance? Is that what it is? Because the old wealth and abundance trick.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and co-host of this show, Chris Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us. It was a big day around the household as many of the children graduated from their respective non-graduating ages.
Right.
Yes, non-graduating classes.
Some and ceremonial
that, yeah, ceremonial
happened.
Shit. That means I got to wake up entirely too early, sit through entirely too long of a ceremony. But man, are they cute.
They are cute.
Are they cute? I find myself being very cheesy during these things. I'm dancing with them. I'm encouraging them. I'm like, clap, clap. Because any parent of any young kid will know this, is that they practice this shit like all year long. They start at literally the first day of school. Okay, we're going to have a big thing at the end of the year. And so here we go. You know, happy duty down D clapped his little pantsies. Happy duty down D put his little feet. You know, whatever it is. And they all, you know, stomp their feet and clap their hands and do little motions above their head. And you know how it goes.
I do.
And so they practice every day for the entire year. For like 262 goddamn days is now the school year. They do this.
And then weeks-long breaks.
Yes. And then weeks-long breaks, they come home and they say, play that song so I can... And they're doing it in the kitchen and... Everything. It's so cute. And you're like, they're going to kill it. This is my kid is Taylor Swift incarnate. Little Michael Jackson in the works. And then that second they walk out on that little, it's not even a stage. It's just like a hall where they're at. And they've taped off a little area and put a backdrop. And the second those kids walk out there, it's like,
stage fright.
So the principal, who we know is a very lovely lady, she comes out and she's like, okay. Now, we're going to bring out the very little ones first, and because they are very scared of loud noises, let's all not scare them. I'm going to be very upset if you scare them. And there's like 250 people. Grandmas, moms, dads, uncles, aunts, friends of the family, and weird creepers who just found their way into the room. Yes, the cavalry is out. We've all come out. Caffeine high, all of us, right?
Was the 5:30 guy there?
5:30! No. No, but I'll tell you about... There's always strange ones in the crowd, anywhere you go, and I'll explain there was a few. So we get the front row because Astrid is involved in the school. I don't want to give away too many details, but Astrid's involved in the school. So we managed to score. And by the way, this is a hot ticket. Like, if you don't
front
get
row,
there 40 minutes early, you're not going to have a chair anywhere where you can see your child.
Yeah.
But what is permissible and what does happen is that if your child's class comes out, then you can run up to the front, sit down in front of them, Indian style. Right? I don't know what they call that. Crossy leggies or whatever it is. You know, crisscross applesauce. That's crisscross applesauce.
Yeah.
And that's obnoxious to see a bunch of 30, 40-year-olds crisscross applesauce. It just is. I'm sorry. But I understand because I did it, too. The first couple years my kids were at this school, we did not know the gig. So we always had a shitty parking spot, and we'd have to stand in the back of the hall and then run up crisscross applesauce when the kids came out, or when we had one kid at the time. So now we have front row seats because Astrid's like a queen over at that school. She does a million fucking things for all those kids and the teachers and stuff like that. So we have the whole front row there. And
look at you, VIP.
Vipping it over at the pre-K.
Right.
Yeah. At the Little Darlings Preschool. That's right. Little Darlings Growth and Development Preschool, or whatever it's called. So a principal gives us the warning before the show starts. Now, I've been to like six of these already, so I already know this is going to be a two-hour-long event, and there are only five classes in the entirety of the school. Each kid's classroom comes out, and they do like three to four songs, right? And there's between 5 and 12 kids in each class. So the first kids come out, we're talking 2 and 3 year olds, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. 2 and 3 year olds come out. There's five of them. They all come out. They are all deer in the headlights, frozen. No one, you could hear a pin drop. No one in the audience says a word. It's like hushed, it's like hushed harangue. We're all like, good job.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Everybody's not just sitting there stone faced.
Yeah.
Right?
But I got to be honest. I'm that age, and people are just whispering at me from the crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm more scared than I would be if you just go ahead and yell at me.
I know.
Do you know what I'm saying? Just give me a little encouragement.
Yes.
So here they are. They're all like deer in the headlights like this. Song starts. First kid drops to the floor. Somatic response to stress. He drops to the floor. He rolls over. He lays down. He's taking a nap. He wants to take a nap.
He kind of did the play dead.
He played dead. That's what he did. He's like a roly-poly. He just rolled up and just laid on the floor.
A turtle.
Yes.
Put its head in.
Little cutest little girl in the corner. She didn't make it 3 seconds in the song. Mommy, 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 mommy. Runs off into the crowd, right? So now there's three left. There's one girl who's kind of trying to make it work. Two teachers who are acting like complete buffoons,
right,
you know, doing all of the motions,
trying to,
poor ladies. I mean, and listen, I say buffoon, not in a bad way. They're just trying their best to get these kids to do anything.
Exactly.
Like, show them that I worked on you at all this year, please. I need a job next year. Show me that I can do something. Third kid runs backwards into the backdrop and plants his face back there. He's just now he won't face the crowd. So now we got one girl, one boy, one girl kind of doing a little bit of a dance, and the one boy just staring off into the sunset. He doesn't want to look at anybody. He's making no eye contact whatsoever. And I swear to God, I feel for all of this because I've been there. I've done it. I've watched my kid freeze.
Yes, I remember you saying.
Yes, I've watched my kid do it in the kitchen as if they are, you know, as if it's the American Music Awards, like professional lighting, stage direction. They've done the whole thing. And then they get out there and they can't remember to breathe. Like, I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got one girl who's kind of trying, and we've got one kid deer in the headlights. And so I feel for him. So he's kind of turning his head like left and right, and we make eye contact. And I'm like,
you got this.
You got this. Because mm-hmm. I know I have that goofy face that kids like. I just do. Mm-hmm. I know I've got that like kind of clownish. Oh, he could be dangerous, but he's kind of funny. Look at those ears on that guy. Look at the ears on that guy. That's kind of cool. I like that. So I go, you got this. Chrissy, the kid screams. He cries. He runs into the crowd. He doesn't even know where his parents are. He just runs into the crowd. The teacher's trying to stop him. He just runs. So now we've got one soldier left. That's it. One soldier amongst all of them. And
At this point, it's got to be about done.
No, we're not even 1 minute into the first song. Well, the teachers are like trying to wrangle them up and stuff too. Like, you know, trying to put them back on stage. The one kid just refused to get off the floor. Literally, he was playing dead. Like they were trying to yank him up to get him on his hands. There was one girl who pulled down her pants.
Oh, God.
And she was crying and she's like, uh-oh. And I was laughing so hard.
I know.
I was laughing.
You can't help it.
You can't. They're so cute. Because Gustavo's in town here
Gustavo. Yes.
Gustavo! Gustavo!
Gustavo. Because Gustavo's in town, and he's sitting next to me, and we are just, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's entertaining, I'm sure.
But I'm going to give a couple of hints and tricks and tips to the parents who in the future will be going through this. I agree. You should be allowed to get up close when your kid's doing this. Like, it's not my kid, so I don't really need to see. But it's inefficient that we just change seats every time a class comes in. You know what I'm saying? For everyone to shuffle seats to make sure everyone's got the front row seat when your kid's up there. So I don't mind the whole crisscross applesauce thing. You got to get up there. At least you can get the video to show the grandparents or whatever. But I was sitting in the front row, meaning there was no chairs in front of me. And so it's me and then the stage.
What about were the crisscross applesauce people in front of you?
Not only were they in front of me, they're sitting on my feet. And there is so much room in front of me. I mean, it just was like kind of silly. Like, you don't have to sit with your back against my knees. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me a little space to the point where like one lady, like this happened five times during the show, five different people sitting right directly in front of me. All of them did the same thing. All of them extraordinarily close, like literally their backs against my knees. And one lady
start to braid somebody's hair.
Well, one lady sat on my shoe and I started poking her in the butt. I was like, bink, 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 bink.
Yeah, moving my toes.
Yeah, but there was cushion there, and I don't think she felt what was going on, but I thought to myself, like, this is just a little too close for, we're all friendly here, but a little too close for comfort. Let's get going. Like, you know, you can move up 30, you can move in 30 centimeters would be okay.
Right.
Give my feet a little room to breathe. That was a little ridiculous. And then the other thing is like, when we get there, and there's this hall, and I already know the drill. There are going to be entirely too few seats for entirely too many people. And there's a lot, and everybody wants, it's a long thing. You do not want to stand for 2 hours during this. And there's a hallway full of extra chairs, stacked up full of extra chairs. So I see a guy take one of the extra chairs to go in the back. And I think to myself, okay, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I already know there's going to be plenty more people than seats. Let me look at a few of these tough guys around here, and let's all start a chain, and let's get it going, and we'll put a few extra rows in the back. There's plenty of chairs. Like, let's make sure that everyone can take a seat. And so I go over there. I'm not necessarily directing traffic, but kind of directing traffic, right? And these seats are they're wooden, and they're really heavy. Uh-huh. So I'm pulling one. I give it to a guy. I pull one. I give him a second chair. Two chairs. That's good. You're good. Two chairs. It's a very heavy thing. Meanwhile, I don't know. Biff Johnson comes over and he's like, "I'm just gonna get the stack." It's like five chairs, and I go, "Oh, okay, all right, go for that."
Yeah,
literally cannot move the stack 1 inch. He's like, he's trying too hard for too long because now he knows kind of what a dum-dum he looks like. Okay, bro. Hey, if I thought you could just, you know, fling a stack of chairs and over into the other room, then I would have done that in the first place. But they're heavy chairs. Two is enough. You don't need to be a tough guy. So you know what he did? He ended up taking a stack of two chairs and moving them there. And I'm like, okay, all right.
Do it your way.
Yeah. So then
they're wooden chairs, though. I'm kind of hung up on this for a minute because I remember in school having, like, you know, the small, like, plastic ones with the butt carve out and, like, some metal legs.
I don't want to give away too much
because I
care about the safety of my family and I don't know who's out there listening. But the hall is a place where very nice wooden chairs would be appropriate.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. Like, nice, solid.
So these aren't like
chairs.
The kids' chairs.
No.
I was thinking.
The school is on one side of the building, and on the other side of the building is it's used for something completely different.
Okay.
But once or twice a year,
I'm picturing a school and like the kids' chairs.
No.
Like stacks of the kids' chairs.
The school does have kids' chairs, but this place has wooden chairs. Right.
Nice wooden chairs for the youngest kids.
Right. So I think we've got enough chairs for two rows. I grab two chairs. I go walk over there. And that same guy is just like standing in the middle of this, like the row that I have to get by to put these chairs down. And I'm standing there looking at him, and he's standing there looking at me, and I go, oh, excuse me, can you, you know?
Yeah.
Chrissy, he didn't even, like, didn't even acknowledge on his face that he had heard what I'd said, but he's, like, looking directly at me. I know he's not deaf because we just had a conversation. Like, I don't know what's going on. So he doesn't move. Another guy recognizes what's going on here, walks around the guy and says, hand me the chair. And I have to hand the chair around the guy who's standing in the middle of the row, not moving for what reason I can't imagine.
Why was he standing? Because I thought he grabbed two chairs.
I don't know. Maybe he used all his possible testosterone to try and lift those five chairs into the air, and now he's on a break. His brain's on a break? I don't know. He's on a break, I guess. I'm not sure. I don't know. It was like a really silly and weird thing. Party's over. Everyone's done. Ice cream truck outside, which was a nice added touch this year. Let's go get some. By the way, in years past, like when we first started taking our kid went to this school, they would do this outside. And in May, you're really rolling the dice.
Yeah, you are.
It could be chilly. Mm-hmm. It could be raining, but it's likely just going to be fucking hot. Yeah, and everyone's going to be dressed nicely, sweating their potatoes off.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we at least got the inside part, and the ice cream truck is a nice addition. But
was
anyway,
it the milk and cereal truck?
I wish it was the milk and cereal truck. Isn't that an ice cream truck?
Oh yeah, yeah? So I passed it. You know, it's parked like at this business that's down the street from where I live.
Oh really?
That's when I took the picture and sent it to you because I'm like, there's an actual milk and cereal truck.
That's a thing now. Yeah. They make ice cream out of and cereal. You know, like a little offshoot here. There was a trend, I want to say like back in the
Or maybe it's cereal and cream. That's what it is.
Cereal and cream. That's right.
Yes.
Yes. There was a trend.
Your choice for
I
late
love
night
it. Hey,
snacks.
If you're going to put cereal and ice cream together, my new thing is cookies and whipped cream. So I can't drink half and half anymore at the levels I was drinking it at. So now I just put whipped cream. Yeah, whippets. I put whippets all over my cookies. I get high. So there was a trend in the like mid-2000s in the aughts where they were opening up cereal shops. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Like walls of different kinds of cereals.
I do.
And people would go in the morning or the afternoon and they would put cereal in a bowl and whatever kind of milk they wanted and they'd pay $5, endless, all you could eat. I don't think that ever took off really, but I remember they opened a couple in New York and one in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I thought that
like
was
a cereal boutique.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting idea. Not one that warranted an entire restaurant in Manhattan, but an interesting idea nonetheless. That's a college town kind of thing.
It is.
If you did that in a college town, you'd probably never go out of business.
That's true.
All right. So party's over. Everyone's done. Thank you very much. You know, tears and happiness, and mainly because it's done. And now we get to go home. And by the way, my kids killed it. They killed it. They were they danced. They sang. They knew their motions. They knew their movements.
Yeah.
I was really proud of them. But this is also not their first rodeo doing this. So I think they were prepped for this. So we get done. And then the same Biff Henderson... all of a sudden, by the way, I'm standing in the front. So when it's over, the front where I'm standing gets very crowded because now this is the open space. So now everybody has crowded the open space to get their kids to say goodbye to their friends, have a happy summer. Thank you, the teachers, all this other stuff. So it's very crowded where I am. And I understand that. I'm just trying to kind of like maneuver to get out. But I'm not going anywhere because no one's going anywhere. And then all of a sudden I notice right behind me, and I mean like breathing down my neck, is Biff Henderson. The same guy who was standing in the middle.
Your
the same guy.
At the
ceremony. And now I'm like, do we have a thing here? But I don't know because I'm not man enough to know. You know, like I don't have that kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
But I do wonder, do we have a thing here? Should I be worried that he's going to snap my neck from behind? Is this a Jean-Claude Van Damme film? Do I need to stand up on the
chair? Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. Do I need to grab one of these heavy wooden chairs and just hit him over the head with it? I don't know. And I'm a little bit nervous that now I've got this guy just literally drooling down the back of my hairline. And so I think to myself, geez, you know, just give me a little bit of room, buddy. He's got like his chest up against my back. And I'm like, it's not that tight in here.
And you're hidden from all sides, the back, the front, your legs.
It's weird. It's like no personal space day at the pre-K. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Honestly, I sound like I'm complaining. It's not that big of a deal. I don't give a shit. But I kind of give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want somebody up on my back. That part, if you have to sit in front of me, okay, I understand. Don't sit on my shoes, though. That's a little, but again, I don't know that she really even knew. I honestly don't. But if you're gonna be like in my back,
yeah,
don't be
strange.
Against
you know
back.
When you're too close to somebody's back.
Yes. And that reminded me of a few times when, like, you go to the grocery store, you're waiting in line at like a Six Flags or a Disney World, and there's just that person that's a little bit too fucking close, like aggressively close.
Yes,
they're angry for some reason, and they're ready to pounce on you, and so they're gonna let you know by standing very close, kind of like when I'm driving down the street and I am 1.5 feet from your bumper because you have a student driver sticker on your fucking car. That's right. Anyway, kids are done. Now we move into the summer. So expect to hear lots more screaming
school's
and yelling.
School's out for summer.
School's out forever. What a cock rock anthem that was. However, one of the best beginnings to any movie with that song has got to be Dazed and Confused. I was waiting for you to say it, but you didn't say it.
Yeah,
Dazed and
Confused. That's true. They do have it at the beginning of that movie. And I need to rewatch that movie.
Everybody needs to rewatch that movie.
I haven't seen it in a while.
It's high time we watch that movie again.
Yeah,
We'll be here all week, and we'll be right back to talk about TCB's Endless Day. Stay tuned.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
I saw a very interesting reel the other day that I think I have to share and we have to have a conversation about. Now, before this gets started, I shared this with Gustavo. and Astrid last night. And Astrid's like, great, everyone's going to think that you and I hate each other. And that is not the truth. I just want to preface this. You'll understand in a second.
Okay.
I just want to preface this by saying Astrid and I do not hate each other.
Far
this
from
is
it.
Not why I'm sharing this. I'm sharing this. This is a very clickbaity title, but I think the substance, the gist, if you don't mind, also a great podcast by our good friend Mike Pescatunin. The gist of this reel from this psychological expert, this marriage expert, is very interesting. It's thought provoking, and I think it might be true. You want to listen?
Yeah, okay. Of course. That was a good buildup.
Thank you. Now if I can just figure out how to press play on it, we're all going to be good. Oh, here we go. All right.
What is normal marital hatred?
The essential rhythm of all relationships is harmony, disharmony, and repair. Closeness.
This is Tim Ferriss, by the way. One of the world's most famous podcasters.
Right.
Been doing this for a long time. I think he puts out like a podcast every 3 months or some shit like that,
no,
doesn't he?
No, he does it once a week.
Oh, he does it once a week?
I subscribe.
Who's the guy who does
him.
It once a year or once every 6 months? You know what I'm talking about?
Kevin Rose or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he gets like 78 million downloads or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is Tim Ferriss, who's been doing this for a long time. Great interviewer and has a lot of thought-provoking conversations. And the word was a little muddled there, but what is marital hatred? And he's saying closeness, disharmony, closeness.
Disruption and a return to closeness. That's where the skills come in, how to move from disruption to repair. Our culture doesn't teach it. We don't deal with reality. The father of couples therapy back in the 50s said the day you turn to the person who's next to you and you say, this is a mistake. I've been had. This is not the person I fell in love with. That, said Famo, is the first day of your real marriage.
So that Fred Famo? First of all, what is Fred Famo?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I
and
like it.
And also, turning to your partner and saying, this was a mistake.
No, this is not gonna work. I've been mistaken. Yeah.
I've been had.
Yeah, I've been had. That's right.
The first day of your life?
That's the first day of your real marriage.
What I want to say about disharmony, it hurts. It's dark. You can really, really feel like, what the hell did I get myself into? This was such a disappointment. And guess what? Your partner's probably feeling that about you, too. I talk about normal marital hatred when you're in that dark phase. You hate your partner. That's okay. It's part of the deal for many of us. I've been going around the world talking about normal marital hatred for, oh my God, what, 30 years. This is true. Not one person has ever come backstage and said, Terry, what do you mean by that?
Okay, let's chew on it. I think what he's trying to say is this. If I'm picking up what he's putting down, if you don't mind me paraphrasing here, Chrissy. What he's trying to say is that mating, the honeymoon phase of a relationship, let's call it, I think we've all been there. Mating is when you put
mating?
On mating.
Okay.
The mating, the dance.
The mating dance.
Mating. Yeah, mating dance. Let's bring it down to its most to its most base nature, which is mating. Courting. Finding a mate, a suitable mate, and then doing a dance to
coupling.
Get them coupling or decoupling, whatever you want to say.
I think of mating as sex, but that's me.
Okay. Well, in the non-sexual way, like us finding a mate. Let's put it that way.
Finding a mate.
When you're doing that, when you're trying to attract yourself to somebody or you're attracted to somebody, you want to be in your universe and you see potential in the situation, you are definitely not going to be 100% the person you are behind closed doors. Because let's be honest about it, the person you are behind closed doors, maybe even in very long marriages, sometimes is just a little bit different. No one can be in your mind. No one can know you exactly for who you are in your perspective every single moment of every single day. People can come close. I think I know Astrid pretty well. I think she knows me pretty well. Does she know every single thing about me that I ever think, that I ever want, that I ever desire? No, she doesn't. Because if she did, then Dua Lipa would be on this show. But the reality for a lot of...
I think she knows about Dua Lipa.
I think she knows about Dua Lipa, but she still hasn't gotten Dua Lipa to come on the show.
Well, that's a hard ask.
It's A. We had...
I don't know if we're at that level.
Tom Papa on the show. Why not Dua Lipa?
Yes.
I think we put our best foot forward because that is what we are. That's in our DNA. That's what we do. We do a mating dance. Just like those birds that have pretty feathers or baboons.
I love watching those shows.
Butts get all pink and red and rosy, right? And when
the birds are the best.
The birds are the best because theirs are fucking
they have like a whole little actual dance.
And they shake their feathers and they twist from one way and they twist from the other and they cock around.
They're great.
Yes. It happens in the wild. It happens here. You put on you're on your best behavior. Mm-hmm. You show your best feathers. You do your best dance. You have your best baboon butt shining.
You peacock.
You peacock
it.
I'm peacocking my way through the bar. That's what we do. And like it or not, that often lasts a little longer than most of us would like to admit. We want to make sure that that person knows that we're the best, most suitable person for them. At like a genetic level, at like a DNA code level, we are trained, we're born, we're bred to put on that show for as long as it takes to secure the deal. And because we tend to mate with one person for life, at least some people do, unless you're the Polly family, then you mate with seven people for half of your life.
Oh my God, we've got to discuss that
show.
Oh,
we do.
I got caught up on that.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
Then at some point, it all comes crumbling down. It all starts to shed because life, stress, kids, money,
stomach viruses.
Flu is the thing that'll take it down real quick.
Yeah.
Flu will take that wall down real quick. it all starts crumbling in some way, shape, or form, it's hard to put on that performance for a very, very long time. And we know this about people who are famous. We know this about pastors and preachers and priests. We know this about our own partners. I think what he's trying to say is at some point you go, I remember when Brian was not such a bumbling, stumbling moron, right? It just happens. And that doesn't, I think hatred is a clickbait word used to antagonize and to prep for a tough conversation.
I see that. Okay.
But I do see what he's saying is that you go through the, and if you've been in a relationship long enough, you go through these cycles of amorous and being enamored with somebody and then maybe not so enamored with them and then maybe irritated by them and maybe there's some kind of discord or disharmony. And then if you know, if you have the skills to navigate that, then you come back together. There's mm-hmm. that conversation. There's that tough situation that kind of breaks the stalemate, so to speak. There's a fucking, a fighting, I don't know, whatever it is in your relationship, and it can be probably multiple things in different situations. But then that closeness again is felt. Mm-hmm. We now see the person for who they are today, and then we go back through the whole rigmarole again. I think this is a really wise thing.
You see what's on the dating apps, and then you realize what
you've got. That's right. You go to Grindr, you get pegged, you stare yourself in the mirror, and you say, well, this is who I am today. I'm going to go back to Astrid and explain and get some marital discourse so we can get that closeness back together. I think this is a wise thing. And I think the longer conversation is we should be training people. We should be helping them. We should be sharing with them. We should be prepping them in relationships that this, what you see today is not always what's going to be in front of you. And you need to be prepared for the eventual change and the change of the relationship and the nature in which the two of you interact, do the dance, talk to each other, communicate, love, fuck, fight, whatever it is. You need to be doing prep work because, and you need to be vigilant and aware that things are changing, and that's okay. That's what happens. Mm-hmm. I love it. I think it's great. And I think that there's a larger conversation here about loneliness, about kind of inability to be in any kind of sustained relationship with our young people today. Not all of them. There's lots of young folks. It's young folks I know. Mm-hmm, Gustavo too. And Allie, right? They've been in a relationship for longer than I've.
Yeah, we have somebody that's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
In our
so
family.
You can do it. You can do it successfully. And there are lots of people who are doing it successfully. But there's also lots of conversation, lots of research that shows that it's not being done successfully at many, many levels. And the birth rate is going down. Not that it matters if you have a baby or don't have a baby. You don't want to have a kid. I understand. It's kind of a fucked up time to have a kid. I have 12 of them. I know. And but there is this like undercurrent of stress amongst professionals, experts, about the level of loneliness that's going on in this country. And some people think that's because there's really an inability to understand what a relationship is, how it works, and to see it through. And so I think this is, take the word marriage out of it, relationship hatred, like, you know, the strength of a relationship, the length of a relationship, and the way in which it goes down is tough. There's nothing easy about it. But, you know, if you really love that person and you see that it's worthy and you feel like it makes you a better person and you make them a better person, it's worth sticking it out. It's worth understanding
that. Oh, 100%.
It's not always going to be the same thing as it was the very first day.
No. And there's highs and there's lows. And hopefully the lows make you remember the highs.
Yes.
And vice versa, too. I mean, you know, you just, be prepared. There's going to be highs and lows.
Yes.
And if you really do love and care about each other and have a deep respect and have open communication with your partner, then you can make it through.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you think that it's just going to be, you know, traveling around to the beaches and fucking five times a day. You got that. That's not how a relationship works. Pretty soon, it's going to be dragging kids to Disney World and praying that you get 5 minutes to take a shit by yourself.
Well, I was going to say, too, you know, having, I've seen this happen, I think probably it's well known that, Yeah, I mean, adding kids into babies and kids and things into the relationship definitely changes things.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people who think that, like, kids are, the problem solver. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right. Like, let's have a baby and everything will be good.
Yeah, I don't.
If you're having problems in your relationship,
have a kid, they said. It'll fix our relationship, they said.
Yeah, that's not going to be the fix.
No, kids are the worst. Because then the kids suffer. Because you're an idiot, yes. And then the kids suffer. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not you're an idiot, but you're an idiot. And yeah. I also know a lot of people, and I haven't talked about this in years on this show. Like, we've been doing this for years this show.
Yes. Oh, I mean, we've been doing the show for years.
We've been doing the show for years. That's what I said. There's an S after that years. After the year, there's an S. It's crazy. I have been married twice, and my first wife, a lovely woman who I have a lot of respect for and there will always be a place in my heart and in my head for her. When it was time to break up, we decided to get married. And a lot of people do that because the marriage will fix the issues.
Yeah.
If we could just get married, then on the other side of that wedding, it's smooth sailing.
Yeah.
And so I myself fell victim to that grass is greener on the other side kind of thing. It just doesn't work like that.
No.
It just never works like that. If there's trouble, if the waters are choppy now, you got to get to calmer waters before you decide to sail on. That's it. Period. End of sentence. Kids do not fix anything. Marriage does not fix anything. Moving in does not fix anything. Let's take it all the way backwards. Fucking does not. Well, fucking fixes a lot of stuff, actually. Do more fucking. That fixes some things. It fixes some things. It can fuck.
But be safe. Don't have a kid.
Be safe. Yeah. Wrap it.
Yeah.
Rip it. Wrap it. Let it go. Oh, no. I think Tim Ferriss really provoked a very interesting conversation with this guy coming on. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really smart. And I thought that if more people would understand this going in, then they would be prepared for the long run if that's what they choose to do. I'm not saying, like, monogamy's not for everybody.
No.
We know that. Look at that poly family.
I know.
That poly family.
Maybe they should be monogamous.
Yeah, they should be monogamous. It's just so difficult to navigate. So difficult to navigate. And then, so poly family is a brand new, fantastic, life-giving dramedy on TLC. Of course, my favorite television station, about two couples and children. So it's a poly family, but it's not poly. It's a closed poly family.
I think it's what they call it.
Closed quad.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
It sounds like a basketball court. I'm going to the closed quad. You want to come with me?
Well, because there's four.
Yeah.
So, and they're closed. And it's two married couples that, and they each got together, moved in together. One couple already had two kids.
Yes.
Then they got together, moved in together, did the whole thing. I guess they didn't really marry each other, but they're all together.
They're all together.
Well, they're actually not all together.
They're not.
The husbands swap wives every day.
Yeah. I think this is
one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off. He switch.
This is one long episode
the
of wife swap.
The women aren't together and the men aren't together.
No. This is one long episode of wife swap. This is what that is. It's one long episode of wife swap.
It's just that they wanted to have sex with the other people.
Yeah. Can I bone your wife? Yeah. You don't mind if I bone your wife?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Come on. Yeah, you want to move in? We'll share the mortgage, split the bills.
Yeah.
By the way, I hate you. Oh, I hate you too.
I know.
Yeah. The men hate each other. Hate each other. Yeah. They're trying to play nice for the cameras. They're not even trying to play
Speaking
nice for the cameras.
Speaking of adding kids into the mix, then that's what they did. So not only did the one couple already have two, then each of the wives had kids at the same time. Had
yes.
one baby each at the same time. So now those kids are toddlers
yeah.
running around. And then another wife had another baby.
Had another
so they've
baby.
Got a newborn. So they've got two toddlers, a newborn. Like the other ones are like 5 and 8 or something. And I mean, throw that in.
And just to let you know, they do not know who the father of any of the children are. Because that makes life easier. Well, okay, I don't want to get into all the minutiae about the show. Go watch it. There's three episodes.
Uh-huh.
It I it's like,
it looks miserable.
It's a miserable show. It's a miserable situation, but I'll keep watching it because I'm fascinated. I just want to see the two guys go at it at some point, really get down to it. Uh-huh. And one guy's a big, fluffy, hair sensitive hairball, and the other guy's a big, tough guy with his fucking dick swinging. Yeah. And so it's two completely opposite personalities, and they just have an extreme dislike for each other. But hey, he's... And by the way, one is the big sensitive hairball is clearly the better lover in the group because both women want him there.
Right.
But the other guy, the guy with the big swinging dick, you know, he's a lug nut. And I think he's probably a one pump chump. And the girls are like, well, it's my day with David. trying to find that. I'm going to get quicker at this. But then it's their time with... Oh, sorry. I'm just going crazy on its own. But then it's their time to be with whatever his name is. Let's call him Michael. So Sean's the big lug nut, and they're like, well, it's my time, my night with Sean. And then it's... And then they go, well, it's my night with Michael. Got to get the lingerie, put on my makeup, take a shower, shave my legs, clean my hoo-hoo. Here we go. Yeah. Michael's coming in the door because Michael's just more of a sensitive type. He probably connects romantically a little bit better, I think. So it's a very interesting look at a very interesting family. I'm not knocking it. If that's what you choose to do, I don't have any problem with it. It's just having cameras in the door, it clearly shows that this is not working out as well as they had expected it to work out. It's kind of a shit show, if I'm being honest. Okay. Polly family, go check out Tim Ferriss's episode on marital hatred if you're interested in that. If you're interested in having, like, learning some, if you're interested in kind of seeding your mind about what it takes to have a serious relationship for a long time, if that's you, if you're into it, then go there. You know, the birth rates are going down like crazy. And there's a lot of experts that are very concerned about that. And then there's a lot of people who aren't concerned about it. They're like, that's okay. We don't need as many humans on Earth. But, you know, once it goes to a certain point, it never, you can never recover from it. So once it gets to, like, in Japan, they are literally paying like 5,000 yen.
I saw that.
Per year or something for the first 10 years. I don't know what it is to have a child because their birth rate is about to go negative. And once it goes negative, it's like almost impossible to recover from that. And then you're going to have Brian and Chrissy, bunch of 80-year-olds at the Villages Tokyo. And no one's going to be, and then there's going to be no one to do anything. They're all, everyone's just going to be retired. This is going to be a senior citizen. It's going to be one large senior citizen island. And hey, if Tokyo's where I got to retire, doesn't sound that bad to me.
Not.
Besides the tsunamis and the earthquakes, I'm good with it. Cool. All right. So let's make a little bit of announcement here halfway through the episode, and we'll keep this going for the next couple of weeks. We have been referring to our big special event on May 31st as TC. It's a 12 hours of TCB for lack of a better name, quite frankly.
It was a 12 placeholder. Episode.
It was a placeholder. 12 episodes, 12 hours. We just kind of, and we did the 12 days of TCB, so I thought it was catchy. However, we have decided we are changing the name to TCB's Endless Day. It's a big birthday bash. We're super excited. 12 at least episodes of the commercial break on May 31st. TCB's Endless Day, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. It is going to be brought to you with limited commercial interruption by 5-Hour Energy. They were nice enough to come in and to say, hey, we want to support you. So we're going to send you cases and cases and cases of 5-Hour Energy to keep you and whoever else is crazy enough to join you up all day long. And in addition to that, we are going to slim down the commercials to just 3 per episode. One in the beginning, one in the middle, and one in the end. That's amazeballs. Nice. So thank you very much to 5-Hour Energy. They've been a sponsor for a while. They're really cool. They're super supportive. And I thought this was like a lovely.
Their stuff tastes great.
Yeah. And then they have the new flavor. Spicy de mango.
Spicy mango.
I think it was how I say that on the commercial that really closed the deal.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo spicy. Cinco de mango.
Good. I heard that commercially. Yeah. You did a good job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I use an authentic accent for that one. So TCB's Endless Day, sponsored by 5-Hour Energy, May 31st, starting at 10 a.m. Stay tuned. Make sure you're following us on all the socials or go to the website. Drop us a line. You want to join us on that day, 212-433-3TCB. Text us and let us know, and we'll let you know how you can call in and talk to Chrissy and I. Say happy birthday to us, because that's what it is. It's a big birthday bash.
It is.
And while you're at it, I know, it's crazy.
Years.
5 fucking years. I mean, technically.
5 years, 5-hour energy. There's something there.
There is something there. Maybe they saw it before I did. And technically, we've already been doing this for 5 years. Like, our first episode came out on April 23rd or something like that. Yeah. But we're too lazy to actually do it. You know,
we're just
getting
the party.
Time. Yeah.
We were late planning the party. Now,
yeah.
Now we're having the party.
Mm. Plus, I like it when it stays light out darker.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure we were past that time. You know what I'm saying, Chrissy? I wanted to make sure we have sunlight when we're ending this thing. Because we're ending it at what time? 10. You know, I did the math. Like, I did the math for 12 days of TCB.
Uh-huh.
And so when I did the math and I said, we're going to do it from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. When I actually did the math, it was 13 hours, not 12. So however many hours is 12 episodes. That's what we're going to do for you. Expect nothing more, okay? And if you get a 13th, that's just because you're being good. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. And when we get back, Palladian Light Girls are taking over the internet, and I'm paying attention. We'll be back.
Why don't you text us? And we can text back. And then you can text us in reply. Then so on. It's a fun little game I've been playing. And I think you'll be great at it. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You could leave a message, too. If you do, maybe you'll end up being the voice of the show. But be warned, the pay is not great. You could go to the website and drop us an email also, tcbpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can get a free sticker. Who doesn't want a free sticker? Just go to the Contact Us button and ask for one. Follow us on Insta at The Commercial Break and watch the episodes at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Now I'm going to go back to that texting game. You want to play? Come on. Bye.
I have taken notice to, you remember we did Palladian Light Girl?
Of course.
The girl who was talking in light language.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you will remember that we found this girl. The internet found this girl, really, and it just happened to come up on my algorithm. And she was claiming to be a light being from another universe that came down with a special alien light language. And she could only she could talk to the aliens, but you could learn it if you spent $10,000 on a course with her. She did this whole video about it, and in the background was a yappy little shih tzu who literally was shitting on her floor. She didn't pay attention to it. She just kept speaking the alien light language. So I don't know where she is. I haven't seen her in a long time, actually. But very pretty blonde girl living, I think she said, in the Hollywood Hills or wherever. Must be nice. And a couple years ago when this came out, I thought, what a strange young lady, but, you know, to each their own. She doesn't seem to be doing any harm to anybody except for taking $10,000 for a course. But then, over the last couple of months, I started to notice that girls that look, dress, and act very much like alien light language girl have started to crop up all over my Instagram feed. Satina and I went out there and we did a little research and we literally found dozens of these young ladies and a man, actually, not to just, you know, shit on the women here, the men are doing this too, who now are speaking some form of this alien light language. Now, I don't know what's going on here, Chrissy. I got to imagine that New Age spiritualism, which started really, you know, I mean, there's always been kind of this like weird Eastern, not weird, but this Eastern philosophy of spirituality found inside you, not outside you. And the religion and spirituality has birthed a lot of strange things over the years. It's nothing new there. But this phenomenon is rather odd to me that these girls, majority of them, are speaking in tongue and claiming to speak to alien light beings and getting messages.
Yeah.
If you look in the comments section of some of these girls who are being followed by a lot of people, and a lot of them are a lot of people are just taking what they're saying at face value. It seems like really going down the rabbit hole with them. Cult, if I don't mind.
Well, a lot of people are looking for things.
We're looking for any kind of meaning, any kind of normalcy. And we want to have some kind of ticket to ride somewhere that's not this miserable shit show we find ourselves involved in currently. I get that.
A ticket
I do.
To ride on a comet, actually. Yeah, ticket, that yeah
that's right. A ticket to ride. A ticket to have alien light babies up in space. But if you read through the comments, which of course I do, on a number of these girls, there are linguistics experts who are saying that one specifically, I will recall on one of these reels, maybe I can remember which one it was if we look through a couple of them, who said, I am a linguistics expert. I have studied people speaking in tongue in religious ceremonies for years. And sometimes people go into like kind of a crazy trance and they start to speak a language that is clearly not forced. They're not thinking about it. It's literally mumbo jumbo coming from the inside of their mind that does not sound like or mimic an actual language. This is not that. These people are trying to make up a language mimicking other languages, meaning they're thinking about it. They actually have, they're forcing it to happen, right? And I think you can clearly figure that out by this.
Are they speaking some of the, like, are they all talking differently?
A lot of them, I don't think you could tell the difference. Okay. Well, let's listen to a few of them and we'll see. So I put together a collection of reels here. I'm not going to give away the names. I'm not here to, like, pick on anybody specifically. Not really. All right, let's take a listen to what some of these people have to say and some of their alien light language, okay?
Okay.
Mushkadaya, mushkadaya, rushkadaya, rushkadaya, brushkadaya. It's like Russian and Spanish put together. Meanwhile, she's rubbing a rose all over her chest and face. What in the good Lord is going on here? What happened with this poor girl? Oh my God. I know seven of these people in real life, by the way.
Right. That's what I was going to say.
All right, here's another one. Take a listen.
Well, what are they saying? What are they saying?
They're getting messages from the universe.
And what
Chrissy.
Is the message?
They never tell you that part of it. Because they're concentrating too hard on their bullshit language. Implanting new subconscious programs in alignment with sacred health, wealth, and abundance in all forms.
Sacred.
Magical. Sacred. Sacred wealth formula. Sacred. The sacred wealth formula. If she even knew. They all sound the same. It's all shuck, 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 tak, 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 tak.
What does it say? Anchoring you into your soul's highest vibrational expression of divine abundance.
Ah, divine abundance. Divine, exactly what I've been looking
sacred for. Sacred divine abundance.
Yes. I'm looking for sacred divine abundance. Thanks, 5-Hour Energy. I know.
Sign language?
Yeah, it's sign language. Only I know someone who actually does sign language, and I'm sure they'd say that's bullshit too. Okay, so there's another one. Let's take a listen to a third one here. Okay.
Oh, here's
an interesting one.
There's a lot of talk of aliens in my book. I am a Pleiadian. Most of you probably are too, or at least some sort of hybrid of a starseed family. And I read about the Pleiadians many years ago, and instead of feeling like, whoa, this is weird, I innately knew that what I was reading
Instead of thinking, whoa, this is weird, I instantaneously went to cuckoo loco.
Instantaneously thought, I know a way that I can turn this into a business.
Exactly. And this one is one of the most famous of them all. Uh-huh. She's got a lot of followers, and she sells a lot of books and a lot of courses. About, you know, she's a Palladian starseed. Palladian starseed.
You're at least a hybrid is what she said.
Yeah. Listen, if you think about it, we are all starseeds. Yes. If you like really think about it, we're all starseeds. Uh-huh. You're not a fucking Palladian. What the Palladian? What?
Isn't there a venue called the Palladium?
There was a venue called the Palladium. Seamless venue accessibility.
That's right. True. This was the truest thing I had ever known. It was everything I felt in my body but never could articulate.
You could never articulate that you were a Palladian? That's what you were hoping to articulate? It all came out once you read the book about Palladians?
Until I read the channelings of the Palladians. The Palladians are dense. So I decided to extract their wisdom, pour it into my book
that you can now is now available on Amazon.com.
Right.
Yeah, this is all a grift, by the way, in case you weren't picking up on it.
Oh
here's a guy. Here's a dude. Let's see.
What is he hammering that?
Yeah. Oh. No, he's got one of those.
That was a corn cob.
It is a corn cob. It's a corn cob drum. Yes. I want to know, for anybody who follows some of these folks and is into this kind of thing, what are you getting out of this? Like, are you actually vibrating when you hear this? Is there some kind of messaging that's coming through to you? Do you feel like you have a better day after you listen to one of these in the morning? Are you feeling some kind of connection to these people? Because this guy literally looks like a character out of a movie. He's wearing Lululemon, a little bit too tight, long hair, beard, balding. I mean, I don't know what's going on here, but this is strange to me.
It really is.
Just to let you know that the dudes are in on it too. Okay, maybe one more here. Oh, no. That's
TMZ.
Not that. Okay, so, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But it just all seems a little too
hokey-pokey. I'm trying to get my head around it. So they're channeling and saying all of these things from aliens.
Yes.
From aliens.
Yes.
The Palladians.
Some of them are Palladians. Some of them are more generic alien light language girls. Yes. Okay. The Palladians.
But the Palladians is a species of aliens?
It's a species of aliens, and they believe that they've been dropped down here on Earth, and they've co-mingled, co-mated with humans.
Okay, that's how the hybrids
happen. That's the hybrids happening, and that if you're a Palladian, then you will activate when you hear certain languages.
And you will activate
your Palladian penis. Your Palladian penis. Your Palladian penis will come alive.
And then all of a sudden you're going to have wealth and abundance? Is that what it is? Because the old wealth and abundance trick.
That's how they get you. That's how they get you.
Who doesn't want it?
Who doesn't want
sacred abundance?
Who doesn't want sacred abundance in all forms? Yes. Who doesn't want a $400 million jet that they can ride around like these preachers do? Because this is what the abundance preachers are doing, too. They're claiming that Jesus Christ wanted you to be filthy rich at the expense of whoever. Because abundance means that you are living at your highest form. And that clearly is following in the teachings of Jesus. Because these people are playing an age-old parlor trick. An age-old cult onesie-twosie, as my daughter would say. Which is to make you believe that you too can be just as rich and healthy and wealthy and loved as they are or claim to be if you only follow the steps they have behind this paywall, mm-hmm. or behind this donation, or behind this gift basket, or behind this next retreat, and you just go keep on going up through the levels. If we have covered one of these, we have covered 30 of them. And it's not a particularly hard concept to understand.
No.
It's basically MLM for your soul.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say too. The yoga documentary,
Whatever her name was.
That. You get to move up the levels and do the things and whatever.
It's Scientology. The more you pay, the more secrets you get, the closer to God. You know,
don't say that word.
I'm sorry. You're right. That means this episode you'll never hear. My cameras are about to explode.
I know.
Yeah. but you get it. Like, this is very much a well-worn path and one that a lot of people make a lot of money doing. And this is just yet another version of this wrapped in New Age spirituality. But I promise you that at the end of the day, most of these people, most of them, some of them I think are just like, maybe they truly believe the bullshit. Maybe a few of them, even the bullshit makes them feel like better people. They do better things or whatever. But a majority of them are jumping on a bandwagon. They see an opportunity to make money. And as long as they keep selling the books and the retreats and the lotions and the potions and the alamogotions, then at the end of the day, they are getting enriched at the expense of your, you know, your want, your desire, your need to be connected in some way, shape, or form. I had a saying, and I think everybody who's heard it has loved it. Do you know what the most expensive thing in a strip club is, Chrissy?
Hope.
I hope she gives me her phone number. I hope that's her real name. I hope we end up together.
Now, not to diminish hope.
No.
In and of itself.
No.
No.
Hope is awesome.
You've got to have hope that, you know, things are going to be better and things are going to get better and be better for you.
Yes.
And that should push you to strive to do things, but not pay.
Hope is one of the most, hope is one of the most beautiful things in the world and powerful things in the world. And I believe in it with all of my being, but I don't want to hope on false prophecies. That's just what I don't want. It's all in here. It's not
exactly. You shouldn't need to pay for it.
Now, if I got to pay somebody $10,000 for it, first of all, I can't afford it. Second of all, I'm not going to. First of all, I can't afford it. Maybe I'm the one who's an asshole just because I can't afford to go to the Alien Light Language Retreat in, New Finland, Peru, where we're going to stay at a 5-star Ritz-Carlton and you're going to get a sage bath with my special, monkey vag oil or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We're going to summon your sacred uterus to your most highest abundant form.
Your Palladian penis.
Your Palladian, we'll be inviting Palladian penises to come up to the uterine uteruses and make sweet, sweet love. Money will fall from your vagina. I saw it happen one time on Palladia at the Palladium. All right.
I know.
Oh, we're all fucked. We're all fucked. Meanwhile, we can't get 5 people to follow us on Instagram, and some of these girls have 20 million followers.
Oh, I know.
It's crazy. Yeah. A lot of people believe this. A lot of people believe it. And that's the saddest part about this, is that you can't clearly see.
Well, it doesn't hurt, too, to be a beautiful young girl.
Correct.
In a very skimpy outfit, rubbing a rose all over your face and body.
Yeah. I mean, when you're in a bikini.
Yeah.
When you're in a string bikini, rubbing roses on your willy hoo hoo.
Yeah.
And going shakadoo 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 shakadoo.
Howdy. Howdy.
5:30.
Maybe that guy was talking to
alien light language. There you go. You never know. TCB's Endless Summer, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy, May 31st, starting at 10 a.m. 12 continuous episodes of The Commercial Break, dropping one every hour until we drop one every hour on the floor here in the studio.
Just like the kid.
That's right.
At the preschool today.
I felt for him. That was a somatic response to stress.
Really,
I saw it.
Yeah.
And I feel that because sometimes that happens to me.
Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, stop, drop, and roll. Anyway, TCV's Endless Day, brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Also, with the help of Covert Creative, Odyssey, our network, our wonderful network, and CTB New York. our good friend Bella doing all the booking for the show. So thanks, everybody. We really appreciate everybody chipping in. 5 years of the commercial break, 6 seasons. We're going to be talking about it all because we're going to have time to talk about it all. We're going to have time to do 6 more seasons of the commercial break. 212-433-3TCB. 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas. Let us know if you want to be on the show. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, and TCBpodcast.com for all the information, all the comings and goings, and your free swag. Still didn't tell that story, but I'll get to it. All right, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you. And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.